Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name, where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom, what's going on, man? We back in the place. You already know. Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai. This is On The Way. Man, you already know it's going down each and every week. We got a little bit of information. We got news flashes, and we got some good things that we want to just spew out there, and man, and just get it going, man, because, time is short, and so let's go ahead and approach the throne. Father Yahuwah, Yahushua the Messiah's name, we give you all the esteem. You are great and awesome. Father, heaven is your throne and earth is your footstool. And we thank you for the Messiah, Yahushua. We pray that you would have mercy upon us and we have found favor in your sight, that you would bless us and open our understanding through the Ruach HaKodesh. And Father, to reveal to us the signs of the times and protect us from the schemes of the enemy. And so we thank you and we love you. We pray all these things in Yahushua HaMashiach's name. So be it. Hallelujah and amen. So you already know, it's still the week of trumpets. We're going down on trumpets, and trumpets is almost done. We'll be, completing it. The first and second day of the week, and you also know that we have on the 10th day of the 7th new moon, which is now, we have the Day of Atonement coming up. So everybody get ready for that. You got to fast for the Day of Atonement according to Leviticus, and we'll get into that later. We got to fast and just, we'll just talk about some things that, that we need to fast as the nation of Yisrael to, for Yahuwah to look upon us and forgive the wickedness and sin, of our forefathers. So we need to seek His face and as far as fasting and praying. So we'll go over that in a little bit later. So you already know it's going down. So we got some information. We just want to go. We're not going to be here long. In a couple of weeks, Yahuwah willing, we're going to start bringing back on special guests. We're going to really do it. We're going to really do it live. We're going to get back on it really, really hard. We're going to start bringing in the call of questions and different things, and we're going to bring the show to a whole new level. So get ready for that. But we want to just go over a couple things. This is very interesting. I just came across this information today. One of the major players that we need to watch in the end times, according to the scriptures, is the rider on the white horse, which is one of the four horsemen. And which I believe, according to the scriptures and according to the description, it seems a lot like the Pope. The rider on the white horse, the Pope always wear, number one, he always wear white. And white is a symbol of, it tries to be a symbol of righteousness. The set apart ones riding with Yahushua will be wearing all white robes. And so, but this person is, however, according to the description of the scripture in Revelations, this person is, however, wicked. So they are perpetrating as righteousness, but yet they are wicked. And they went and they go around to conquer. And so when you think about it, you think about Catholicism, Roman Catholic, woman sitting on seven hills. Who leads that? Who leads the Vatican? The Pope. The Pope always travels around going to conquer, and that's one of the reasons he even wears that crown he has on his head. It's to go around and conquer, and he has a little scepter, and it's a lot of links that link him to the rider on the white horse. But what I want to show you is, we talked about last week that he went to the Middle East conflict. You had a video go viral on YouTube that, I guess, kind of bashed the Muslims. But you know, I think it's a lot more behind this because, I mean, it's thousands and thousands of videos on YouTube. And so, you know, one video, you know, makes all this fuss. Yeah, I think it has to be, you know, something like the perpetration behind Occupy movement. We knew that the Occupy movement, we released facts that the Occupy movement was number one. It wasn't started by the people. You know, it was started by government agencies who tried to rile up the people in order to them to fall into the trap of the agenda. And so I believe this is the same way with the Middle East conflict and what you got going over there with the uprise of the Muslims is you have, and like I said, we had a release last week that it possibly could have been an Israeli, you know, and possibly a Jewish influence that started this conflict. And so you got that going on. But before as we get back to the Pope, I don't know if you know. I don't know if you have been studying this, but the Pope has released a couple of written works. We're talking about the current Pope, and he released some written works, and two of them basically talked about the infancy of you know they, of course, they use the erroneous name JC. And the second book he released was, I think it was like in the early, don't quote me, but I think it was like 2007. They released the book. After that, it was like the life of JC and to the resurrection. Because, you know, actually, like people say, the Pope actually believes he is, you know, and they say G-O-D. Kind of intercessor between, you know, heaven and earth. And man, you're going to understand what they are really trying to perpetrate in just a little bit, because I just found some head-busting information that's going to about the New Age movement and all these things. But anyway, the Pope released this book, and he is of these memoirs of him, basically the reason why he's writing this book is supposedly he says that there is a misconception of the image of JC. So, you know, he feels like he needs to set it straight, and, you know, he has, you know, divine connection, or he says he has divine connection or divine revelation to G.O.D., you know, in order to interpret these things. And so pagan holiday, pagan season this Christmas, he is releasing his third and final for his whole lifetime memoir of, it hasn't been renounced, the details haven't really been announced, but the memoir of JC. So he did the, you know, supposedly his life and his resurrection and all that. And so now he's doing the final book of his whole memoir, in which his legacy will be known. And so this is very interesting, man, because you know, it's a lot of information points to. One of the brothers said that even since the Vatican had signed the treaty, that it had been, you know, a certain amount of popes. And so when you go to, for instance, when you go to Revelations, you go to Revelation 17 and verse 11, for instance, it says the beast that was and is not, and is himself also the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goes into destruction. And you go to verse 10, it says, and there are seven sovereigns, five have fallen, one is, and the other is yet to come. Okay? And when he comes, he remains for a little while. So, this is what we're saying. Is there, and I'm going to get the total information for you, dates and everything, hopefully next time on the show. But there has been, right now, Pope Benedict is almost like the seventh in which Revelation is talking about. I mean, you go to prophecies like St. Malachi, we're talking about there's 112 popes, and currently, right now, you know, if you match that prophecy, you know, Benedict would be the 111th. And so a lot of prophecies and a lot of situations and a lot of scholars and a lot of theologians say, hey, this is possibly the last pope. So this one is really that information. I mean, not the last pope, but the last pope before the last pope. And the last pope will basically be, which a lot of people call the false prophet. And so you're talking about, you know, one step into the last pope, the eighth king, in which, and it says the beast that was and is not, and himself of the eighth, and also the seventh goes into destruction. So this is the pope, the next pope will possibly lead Babylon into destruction, which will, he will be the, you know, the basically like the false prophet. Okay, so this is very interesting. I read this book that, you know, that he basically says that people have a misconception of JC, you know, which is Tony the erroneous name, and then, you know, he is the representation from GOD to give the right interpretation of the image of JC. And I just think that we just need to keep watching this, keep watching the Ride on the White Horse and these things, because we're talking about possibly, you know, he says he's writing the last memoir of his whole legacy. And all these so-called wicked popes, you know, they play a part in the prophecy of which Yahuwah wrote through the real inspiration of the Ruach HaKodesh. So this is things that we need to watch. And so this thing right here is interesting because every pope has always been known by what they did in office and what they were known by. And so this is the biggest thing in which he's going to be known by is his memoirs of the interpretation of, you know, the so-called the Messiah that they say is the Messiah, who they're talking about the anti-Messiah. So this is something that you need to watch, continue to watch, because, you know, he's going around and, you know, speaking peace and all, doing all these things. And so we need to watch, because there's a lot of things that point to, you know, this pope possibly either dying or something happened to him, and then it ushers in the next pope, which is possibly the eighth king, the last pope, which will be known to this age. And that's interesting because, you know, you follow the scriptures and you say, hey, we're not. I mean, the pope is what, you know, I don't know, 80-something? You're talking about if the eighth king is the last king in which the prophecy says, we're not talking about hundreds of years, 50 years. You know, we're not talking about this long of a time until we're embarking upon the end of this age. And so this is one thing that we need to continue to watch. So moving on, well, we're going to keep it right there, because we want to talk about this new age agenda in just a little bit, because this is very interesting. I just had this word come in, so we need to watch. But moving on to other news, I don't know if you know, but Hillary Clinton, and we talked about it a while ago on the show a couple weeks ago, that the UN has been trying to make a law. They've been trying to make what they call the Arms Treaty. And they've been conspiring with a lot of other nations. Basically, what it will do, it will kind of alter the Second Amendment rights a little bit, but it will regulate basically the movement of guns. It will regulate the movement of guns, and so a lot of these things like the Colorado thing and a lot of these events have triggered. I wouldn't say triggered, because they knew what they were trying to do. And so there's supposed to be this conference this year in which they're trying to sign this bill where the international trade treaty. And so this is not just going to deal with the United States. This is going to deal with other nations basically controlling the way arms are, you know, delegated and regulated. And so this is very interesting because a lot of people have different theories, you know, people, you know, martial law taking over and then people can't defend themselves. I mean, it's a lot of different theories to how this would pan out, but they are actually doing, they're actually moving it. And Obama is using a lot of tactics that don't deal with Congress. What I mean by that, he's using a lot of things like, you know, going to international bodies to get laws. They're going to, you know, executive orders. You know, presidents can sign. I believe President Obama has signed almost 135 executive orders. So they're going around. They're not waiting for Congress. They're not waiting. They're putting these lot of laws in, similar to what, if you look at history, similar to what people like, you know, Adolf Hitler and these people, you know, these dictators have done, using the government and but not going through Congress, because a lot of people think, oh, well, you got to, you know, that's what you learn in school is, you know, you got to go to Congress, you got to go to judicial and, you know, all these things for just a law to be passed. But you can understand even the situation with Libya, when they supposedly went in and bombed Libya, you know, the president didn't go through the chain of commands to get what was done. And so they're using different tactics, and we all know that's part of the agenda, so that's nothing new. That's not nothing surprising. But you do have the UN treaty in works in which they are trying to regulate the gun control on the international body. So that's interesting to, you know, see how that plays into just the whole scheme of the, of everything going on. And also, the Middle East conflict that started, you know, that has been going on, you know, raging in Syria and raging over there is very interesting, because we talked about it a while ago. You got some interesting scriptures that talk about Damascus, and I don't know if you know about, but Syria, basically the capital of Syria over there is Damascus, and so Damascus still kind of, you know, I mean, it still stands, it's still going on, and so, but what's interesting is when you look into the scriptures, you know, you had a thing about the rebels over there. You know, it's a, you know, if you've been following that story, it's you know, the rebels are trying to, you know, take over the government, basically, you know, because of the regime or whatever, you know, the I guess, you know, it's not what the people like or desire, and so a lot of the rebels are, you know, different groups and different military groups and different, you know, stuff like the Taliban, which, you know, was number one, even created, was a CIA, you know, group that was basically named from the U.S. I mean, that's holding the story. But what's interesting is Damascus, the capital of Syria over there, Damascus, still stands. But what is interesting is when you look at the scriptures and you look at Yeshayahu 17, verse 1, it says, the message concerning Damascus, see, Damascus ceases to be a city and shall become a heap of ruins. And we went over this scripture before, but it's very interesting because the city over there in Damascus is not a heap of ruins. It's not a heap of ruins, and it doesn't cease to be a city. So the thing interesting is this word, you know, for the future, because there has been a lot of statements saying that, hey, that, you know, nuclear weapons and biological weapons could be used upon, you know, this city, Damascus, and where it would cease to be a city. It would cease to be, it would be a heap of ruins, like what Yeshayahu 17:1 says. And so this is very interesting to watch and to see, hey, if this word, you know, is this word going to be, you know, fulfilled in our time to where we see these things. And also when you look at, it's other prophecies that talk about, and that's why these conflicts and these things over here, you know, these things are not just, what I've been learning is, you know, when people fighting in wars and all this stuff, these things are not just war. These things are not just illusions. These things all have some kind of meaning and some kind of context to it, in which they are related to the scriptures. Because Yahuwah doesn't, everything is written, you know, so these things are not just happening. And also when you go to Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah 49, verse 24, it says concerning Damascus, Hathma and Akpad have been put to shame. for they have heard an evil report. It says they have been melted in anxiety like the sea, unable to rest. Damascus has become feeble. She has turned to flee, and the tremble has taken hold of her. Distress and pain has seized her like a woman in labor. And so what you got to realize is you can look back in the scriptures and you can see that things happened back in the days, you know, to these lands. But Yahuwah's word is just so depth. It's just so much depth that these things repeat itself. And so right now the capital, like I said, the capital of Syria over there is, you know, it's another city too, a pool, I believe it's pronounced. But Damascus is right there too. And what this scripture is saying, this is just what's going on over there. I mean, you know, if you look at the report sometime, I mean, you know, hundreds of people are dying. I mean, these things are, you know, it's chaos over there. It's madness. And so it's wild to look at these, it's wild to see things happening before your eyes. And you're like, man, this is what's going on right over there. And so this is what, you know, is going on. So we want to just keep up to date with the current prophecies and, you know, to see if, you know, these, of course, Yahuwah's words, you know, stands true and not one word, you know, will return him void and empty without accomplishing what he has sent him to do. And so so you got that going on. But one thing, we want to go over a topic right here. And this is very interesting right here. We want to go over about this New Age agenda, man. We're going to dive into it. Because something is going on, something is in the air where the spirit of the anti-Mashiach is live and present and taking over even people who started off in the name Yahuwah, who started off in the name Yahushua, and people who still proclaim the name Yahuwah. So we want to talk about this because it gets deeper than what you can imagine. And we're going to talk about a couple things. So if you got the scriptures, turn with me to the epistles. Turn with me to 1 John or 1 Yehuchanan. Chapter 2, verse 18. That's what it says. It says, little children, is the last hour. And as you have heard that the anti-Messiah is coming, even now many anti-Messiahs have come. This is how you know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have stayed with us. But in order that it might be manifest that none of them were of us. I'm going to skip down to verse 21. It says, I did not write you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no falsehood is of the truth. Who is the liar except the one denying that Yahushua is the Messiah? This is the anti-Messiah, the one denying the Father and the Son. No one denying the Son has the Father, and no one confessing the Son has the Father as well. I mean, it says the one confessing the Son has the Father as well. Let me read that again. It says, no one denying the Son has the Father. The one confessing the Son has the Father as well. Okay? It says, so So this is the basis. And then I'm gonna read Yehuchanan, the epistle of Yehuchanan, the first epistle, or the first book of Yehuchanan, chapter 4. He says, "Beloved ones, do not believe every spirit. Reprove the spirits whether they are of Elohim, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this, it says, by this you know the spirit of Elohim. Every spirit that confesses that Yahushua the Messiah has come into the flesh is of Elohim. Every spirit that does not confess that Yahushua has come into the flesh is not of Elohim. This is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world." Okay. Now, this is what we're gonna go to second because we're gonna get the foundation. Then we're gonna go into the real doctrine. We're gonna go into the real doctrine, but we're gonna get the foundation first. Okay. So second Yehuchanan or second John chapter 1, it's only one chapter, verse 7. "Because many who are leading astray went into the world who do not confess Yahushua Messiah as coming into the flesh. This one is he who is leading astray and the anti-Messiah." Okay. Then it says, "Look, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his wicked works." So apparently that's a note, you know, even for us and even to remember, even for me, you know, to remember and is people that who are bringing this doctrine that I'm about to tell you about right now. We're bringing this doctrine that we're not even supposed to greet them nor invite them to our house. People who are, you know, the anti-Messiahs. Okay, now. This is powerful. This is powerful because I really didn't look into this. And I knew, you know, generally about this. But what you have is you got out there today. You know, many people follow this doctrine but don't even know it. And it's creeping its way into Yisrael. And even into the people who, you know, proclaim, you know, Yahuwah or used to proclaim Yahushua. So what you have here, we just talked about the scriptures, and we just talked about the scriptures. But what you have is what you call the New Age doctrine. Okay, now a lot of people, you know, heard of the New Age doctrine. You might know generally about it. We're really going to dive into it and give you the core beliefs of the New Age doctrine. So you'll be able to conquer and see the schemes of the enemy. Now, what this doctrine entails. This doctrine entails, you know, it deals with, you know, things that Yahuwah has said that are forbidden, you know, like the worship of signs, you know, like you know, people do the astrology signs and, you know, the worship of signs and divination and spiritualism. And one of the things is, you know, a higher conscious state and vibration. They use these words, these code words, you know, to and that's one of the biggest things, you know, a higher consciousness or vibration or something like, you know, these words that they use. And one of the biggest promoters of the New Age doctrine out there is, you know, Oprah Winfrey, and it's some others because a lot of them are in this. And so they stick close to what you would call the scriptures. They would stick close to the scriptures, and they would say, you know, they might quote some scriptures or something like that. But that's just all the cover-up. Because once you go back, this doctrine goes all the way back to the theological. I'm sorry, I'm pronouncing that right. But Madame of Belinsky and you know, the creators of this doctrine, who foundation was, if you go back and look and research, who foundation was a lot of the so-called prophets of Yisrael. However, their interpretation and their side of the prophets, because you remember we talked about before that when Yisrael went into captivity, you had a branch. You had a branch off. You had a branch of people who branched off and would call themselves rabbis and prophets, but were not part of Yisrael. And Yahuwah talks a lot about them in Yirmiyahu about these false prophets who were prophesying, about Yisrael, but they had got no word from Yahuwah. And so these are the people that Yahuwah was talking about in captivity when they went into captivity. And so Madam of Belinsky and all these people who are creators of the New Age agenda, they go back and they reference the side that the people who have broke off. So the people had broke off of Yisrael, you know, the false prophets and the false rabbis. And so they reference them. And these were the same people of the creators of the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, which goes directly against the scriptures, which talks about Kabbalah and magic and, you know, all these different things and the same things that the New Age agenda, perpetrate. So these are some general things that we probably already know. But it gets deeper, okay? The core of this belief, we just read some scriptures. Now, one of the people that have been revealed to me as possibly being a candidate for the anti-Messiah, the candidate for the anti-Messiah is a person named Maitreya, which is what people call ascended master or something. And what they are, what this entails is they are fallen messengers. They originally are messengers that dwell with Yahuwah who sinned against Yahuwah and, you know, Yahuwah cast them out. And the thing about messengers, they're not like humans. They cannot be redeemed. Once they have left their abode, once they have sinned, that is it for them. They will be destroyed. And so there's no redemption for messengers. And so one of the candidates is being Maitreya. And so I don't know if you know, but there's a person, because Hashatan tried to do everything opposite, tried to do everything just alike, but it's opposite of Yahuwah and Yahusha. So there's a person named Benjamin Cream, who is something like, if you would reverse the roles, he's the opposite side, but similar to Yehuchanan the Immerser, who Yehuchanan the Immerser was the voice in the wilderness crying out, basically proclaiming and telling people about Yahusha to come, and they was asking him, hey, are you him? And, you know, so, you know, that's the true side, but the false side, you have this dude, Benjamin Cream, who's on the other side. And on the flip side, so they created this website called Sharon and Nazareth. Like, these things I'm going to tell you now, you know, you can look up, but I really want you to be prayed up before you go looking into these things, because the rabbit hole gets very deep, and you really have to have your full armor of Yahuwah on to protect yourself against these things. But these things are things that we need to talk about, because this doctrine is killing, and I'm seeing people, it's almost like a battlefield, like people are being shot down by this doctrine and are being taken captive and whole because they don't know where it's coming from, and it's deceiving a lot of people. So what's happening is he got a website called Sharon the National. And Sharon the National basically is a collective belief system and agree, because you got to understand, the scriptures talk about the United Nations, the 10 nations, in which will rule the whole world. Now, the 10 nations, if you go to New York and you go to the United Nations building, they have a room. They have a room in the United Nations building. And Bill Cooper, who talked about this, the United Nations have a room that is basically geared to like some kind of spiritual room that is geared to this New Age doctrine and the whole idea of the Maitreya and the Madeline Belinsky and all, you know, her theological ideology. This room is geared toward that spirit, that spiritual atmosphere. I mean, that's what it's geared to, and that's their belief. The United Nations belief is the New Age doctrine in sharing the national belief under Maitreya. That's their belief. So if you can go research that, the United Nations, so you're talking about what the scripture says, the 10 nations, their belief, their core belief is what Sharon International believes and Maitreya believes and the New Age agenda believes, along with Madame Blinsky. Because we talked about even back to the when they did the Occupy movement, the people who registered the website was people from Madame Blinsky's camp. Who, if you don't know, this look the lady up, very evil lady, who started a lot of these false documents and perpetrated off of the wrong side of the false prophets and the false rabbis that had branched out of Yisrael in Babylon. So that's where she gets her and so it's an illusion, because they'll use the scriptures, and you got to remember that Hashatan masquerades like a messenger of light. So they're going to use the scriptures, you know, and this evil lady, she used the scriptures. But you, just like false prophets and false rabbis, they'll use the scriptures, but they don't have the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. So let's get down to the business. Okay. So the United Nations, what they believe, that whole room that they got, the whole ideology that they follow, this is what, I went straight to the website. Yahuwah showed me something that I'd never seen, but this is their core belief, because this is going to get right back to John and which we were just talking about, the spirit of the anti-Messiah. This is what New Agers believe. This is what New Agers believe right here. They have a prayer in which they say, you know, Maitreya, you know, gave them, you know, to pray, and this is what they pray. This is what the devout believers of New Age agenda pray, but also the people that have been in Yahuwah, who used to proclaim Yahusha, and they may not claim this, but this is the direction they are going, because we're going to show you. Okay, some of the words of this thing that they say. Number one, they say. And this is quoting this. This is not, you know, me saying this. Okay. They believe that they are the creator. The lines say, "I am the creator of the universe." This is how they start off. One of the lines say, "I am the creator of the universe." They say, "I am the mother and the father and the mother of the universe." They say, "Everything comes from me." And one of their beliefs is man and God are one, and there is no separation. There is no separation between man and God. So they are saying basically that they are God. They say man and God are one, and there is no separation. That means that in a sense you are God, and you are one. So this thing is very freaky. So you gotta have your armor on, you gotta have your mind caps on, you know, because these things are very dangerous. But this is what they're saying, and this is the prayer that they say, that they start off saying that I am the creator. They say everything comes from me. And so if you look at doctrines like Oprah Winfrey and what they, I mean, that's what they say. This is their core beliefs. And so this belief is to wash Yahusha out. Because number one, if they're saying that they are the creators, basically they say they can and they are God, they can redeem themselves. And so they don't need. So they look at another human being, and this is what they do. And a lot of the international, the people with the New Ages, they look at people who, you talk about Yahusha, you know, you try to witness Yahusha to them. They believe, the reason why you can't witness to them is because they believe that Yahusha was just a man. And so their core belief is all men are, you know, men can become God. So if men can become God, what makes the Messiah different from me? So that's what that's their core beliefs. And so what happens is they fall into this trap of blaspheming the Ruach HaKodesh. And so what you got to understand is the end goal of the adversary is to get people to blaspheme the Ruach HaKodesh, because he knows once you blaspheme the Ruach HaKodesh, there is no redemption for sin. And so if you can't be redeemed, then you're doomed. And so you're doomed for eternity, to spend eternity with the adversary. And so this is the doctrine they're coming. And so now people are coming even in the name Yahuwah. People have started off believing about Yahusha. And we just read, we go back and read it. We just read, it says, "Who is the liar except the one denying Yahushua is the Messiah. This is the anti-Messiah, the one denying the Father and the Son. Because this is what happens. It's how this doctrine has creeped into Yisrael, is now people are saying, hey, how... They're saying Yahushua was just a man. Because with that doctrine, like I said, this is the core doctrine of the New Age agenda. And so it wipes out Yahushua coming into the flesh. Because we're going to give you a background. We're not going to go too much in scriptures, but we'll go some things. Yehuchanan, the Besorah says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel. So what you got to remember is, even when Yahushua was sitting down with the disciples, he said, I came from the Father into this world. So he was talking about his deity first. He said, I came from the Father. Okay, we know that. We can go back to Tehillim and it says, today you are my son I have begotten. But we go back into the beginning of history, we know that Yahushua came forth out of Yahuwah. Yahuwah is the existence of everything. Yahushua is Yahuwah because he came from the same essence of the Father. He is not outside of his nature. You know, and Yahuwah, remember, Yahuwah is not a man. Yahuwah is Ruach. So the beginning of Yahushua is Ruach. So when he was praying in the garden, in Yehuchanan 17, and he said, Father, you know, he was saying, Father, you know, give me the esteem that I had in the beginning. In the beginning, he was not a flesh. He became flesh. But right now, even right now, he is not flesh. He is Ruach, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And so him and his Father are one because it's like something proceeding out of something. And he gave birth to his son in the beginning of time in history. And he is Ruach. So that's why Yahushua is Yahuwah. This is why, just like when you're reading the Old Testament, you see Yahuwah rain down fire from Yahuwah. Because Yahushua is in a sense. That's why he said his Father is greater, because he proceeded out of the Father. And that's what he told the disciples. He said, I came forth out of the Father. He said, I came from the Father into this world. So in the beginning, he came from the Father into this world. And let me see if I hope I can find that real quick for you. Okay. Yehuchanan 16:27. The Besorah. Yehuchanan 16:27. Okay. It says, for the Father himself does love you because you have loved me. And because you believe I came forth from Elohim. I came forth from Elohim and have come into this world. So he gives two clauses. He said, I came forth. Today you are my son. I have brought you forth. He came forth out of Father. It's almost like the Father, just like the only example I can really give you that can make sense is just like how Yahuwah put Adam to sleep and he reached forth into Adam and pulled forth the rib and to create Hawana. Hawana doesn't exist. The woman doesn't exist without the man. And so in a sense, that's why Yahuwah has given the man the title of the head of the household, because it is the nature of how even the creation of man. And so in the beginning of time, Yahuwah reached forth in himself, the Ruach, and brought forth his son, Yahushua. Okay? Just like how we have the Ruach HaKodesh, we receive a portion of the Ruach HaKodesh, we have the nature and the spirit of Yahuwah, but yet we are no way even greater or even can be compared to the nature of the Father. That's the same way with Yahushua. Yahushua is great, and he has been given all power in esteem, but even himself, he said that the Father is greater than him. Why? Because he came forth out of the Father. Okay? So And that's what he told him. He said, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His taught ones said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly and are not using figure of speech. Now we know that you know all, and you have no need for anyone to should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from Elohim. See, that is the question, is his nature and his deity. Is him coming forth and being Yahuwah, and being the nature of Yahuwah. And when the Word became flesh, he dwelt among us. And so what they want to say is, what the New Age agenda is Yahushua is not Yahuwah, and he did not dwell in and not dwell and come in the flesh. Because they believe, number one, everybody can become G-O-D. So what does that make him better? Because they look in the carnal. They don't see what was before. And that's the same thing the Jews did, or the Yahudim. As he said, he told them before Abraham was I am. They perceived out their mind that he was just the son of a carpenter. They say, oh, Yosef we know, Miriam his mother we know. So they believe that at his birth, that was the beginning of his essence. See, that's not true. It's because he came into the flesh. He dwelt in Shemayim. He dwelt in heaven and descended into the form of the Ruach HaKodesh, and the Ruach HaKodesh came upon Miriam's ovary, and he had no human seed or sperm to activate that ovary. It was the Ruach HaKodesh that activated that ovary. And so this is what people fail to realize, is he dwelled before he came into the flesh. And so when he came into the flesh, he dwelt among us. See, and this is what they try to race out, because they say, hey, they basically say that they can become what JC was, you know, they say JC, but they say what the Messiah was. And so that's why people like, you know, that's what the doctrine of the anti-Messiah is going to bring, is they're going to bring this equality thing that everybody can believe that they can become, somehow become the Messiah, and the Messiah is no different from you. And that's what the doctrine they're going to bring. They're going to bring like it's an equal playing field, like the Messiah is no different from you. He was a human born. He was born of a mother. So what? How does that make him different? But what is different is he is the Aleph and Tav, existing in the beginning, and he is Yahuwah, who by him and through him all things were created. And before Abraham was, he was. So this is what the doctrine is they're going to come with, and this is their core belief. So people in Yisrael are now saying that, hey, Yahuwah didn't have a son. Yahuwah didn't have. So they are denying, and we just read here. Because the scary thing would be, this is the scary thing, is you're going to have to erase 4 of the Sorahs and 22 books and also Revelations, and you're going to say all those words are null and void. So you're saying all those words are null and void, but what happens if those words are true? What happens if it says, he says no one denying the Son has the Father. So that means that he will say in front of them, even if they proclaim the name Yahuwah, he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because he never knew you. And so the thing is one of the commandments, even saying Yehukanai, this is what it says. This is what it says. Look, First Yehukanan, chapter 3, verse 23. It says, this is his command, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Yahushua Messiah, and love one another as he has commanded. So the command, a commandment, is to believe in Yahushua. Because Yahuwah set it up to where he, his own son, he named him Yahushua. And in fact, he is Yahuwah too. You got to understand what the name of Yahuwah even entails. Who was, who is to come. The Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and end. He existed. That's why Yahushua can make the claim that he is the Aleph and the Tav, because the Father always existed forever in the beginning of eternity. Nobody can go back and search the eternity in the beginning of Yahuwah. It's impossible. You cannot go back and search the beginning of Yahuwah. I mean, the earth is maybe so many years old, but Yahuwah, I can't even think like that. Like, when is the beginning of the beginning? You know, we can't even think like that. But this is what this doctrine is coming with, this New Age doctrine, and it's coming in Yisrael, and I've been seeing more and more brothers falling to the victim to this doctrine because they are beginning to deny Yahushua. And they don't understand that Yahushua is Yahuwah. And they don't understand that he came forth, and the Father is greater than him. He came up forth out of his own nature. So when they deny and embrace and say, you know, he's some other kind of deity, or he is, that is not true. He never said that, but their perception and this spirit that is on them has tricked them in believing that Yahushua is another deity. When Yahushua is Yahuwah, he came forth. That's what you got to understand. Is even when we look at Revelations, and the Father is sitting there, and his Son comes to get the scroll out of his hand. I mean, people don't understand the magnitude of. And I always use this example. I use an example of, you know, there being a huge cloud, and a part of the cloud breaks off into a smaller cloud. That first cloud that broke off, it's still the same cloud. It's just separate, but it's one. And this even when you look at the Shema, Hero Yisrael, Yahuwah Elohim is one. He is one, and that means in unity. That doesn't necessarily mean that he is just one. He is just one entity. Because we have an entity called the Ruach HaKodesh, but guess what? We are still one with Yahushua. You see? So we have the entity called the Ruach HaKodesh, and we don't have the fullness of what Yahushua has, but we are still one. And that's the same thing. You know, that Yahushua, he is still one with the Father because he has his same nature, but he is also Yahushua. He is also Yahuwah. And that's why we can see that in Revelations he comes and gets the scroll out of his Father's hand. You know, he comes. And one day the Father and Son shall be here on earth, in a new earth, new heaven, new earth. And so this is what this doctrine is doing. This doctrine is erasing Yahushua even coming into the flesh. And that's what it's doing. And that's what you got to watch out for, because it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Every spirit that comes. So, that's where we're getting to the point where we're going to have to ask people, hey, do you believe Yahushua came into the flesh? You know, because, people are tricky. The adversary gets so tricky that now people believe that statement means that when you say come into the flesh, that means that he had to have a human seed to come into the flesh. But what people don't realize is his essence is not human. His essence is not human. That's what you got to understand, is man is created. He is not a man. He became a man and dwelt among us. So you can see this. That's like a human becoming an ant. Okay, it is a human is not an ant. But if a human could become an ant, his nature would still be human. It's the same thing. Is Yahuwah's nature is Ruach. But through his Son he became a man. So this is what is going on, man, and this is what the doctrine is telling, man, and this is what the New Agers believe. This is their core belief, is that this is why it is so hard to witness to these people, because they believe that in their heart, they believe that what makes the Messiah different from any other human being if every human being can become God. So for them, they don't believe that they need redemption. So for them, they don't believe they need redemption, and that's why they annul the New Testament. You know, they annul the New Testament because they say all that's lies because the Messiah did not come into the flesh. And that's exactly, people don't understand, that's exactly what the adversary wants you to say. That's exactly to blaspheme. You know, because when you start getting to the blaspheme on the Ruach HaKodesh, man, it's a wrap for you. You know, so I would encourage people, hey, man, if you don't know, you know, study, look into it, pray. But do not go ahead and start saying some statements that Yahushua is not the Messiah, and he did not come into the flesh. And so this is what this doctrine is telling, man, and this is what's been going on. And so you're listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sod, and we're on the way. Hey, I hope you got some good food, and we didn't get a chance to go over the Day of Atonement, but that is coming up. Check that out in Leviticus. Check that out in Leviticus 23. So get your fast on, man, and seek Yahuwah with prayer and fasting to, you know, forgive the sins of your family and to also, you know, a good thing to look at also was look at Daniel and look what, you know, he was praying and about the nation of Israel. But hey, we just, you know, protect yourself from the wiles of the schemes of the enemy, because he's out here trying to take over. And even in the people proclaiming Yahuwah, that they have now denied Yahushua, and they still try to proclaim Yahuwah. Well, I want to tell you something. Yahushua said that. He said, many will say to me when that day, Master, Master, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not did this in your name? And he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. Hey, Shabbat Shalom, we're out of here. Yahuwah bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. Shalom.